The Around the NFL Podcast is binge-watching Scorpion this weekend.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
That reminds me, I did promise back in January or December that I would binge-watch Scorpion. And I cannot lie to the audience or not keep a promise.
The CBS program.
To the audience. Wes, I mean, Greg, everyone knows what Scorpion is. It is one of the top-rated hour-long dramas and the only place where you could have a commercial like this.
What's harder than preventing a nuclear disaster? Preventing a nuclear disaster.
Thank you for coming.
With your mother.
So I will. I have to find it. Is it streaming? Let's look at this.
How have you held yourself back from completing this mission between the end of the Super Bowl and now? How?
You guys, talk amongst yourselves until I find out if Scorpion is streaming.
The whole show has stopped for this B-minus level like CBS program.
B-plus probably. Or maybe a B.
Probably. You haven't even seen it.
It looks like season one is on Amazon.com. I'm going to look into it because it's time I made my promise. I will be watching Scorpion for all... It's glory. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, we're just picking up the pieces from what just happened. I don't know what.
I once tried to explain the whole Scorpion bit to my wife.
When good luck with
that. Commercial came out. Yeah, it was a little hard to really get into.
We had lunch today with the Gold Standard.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sid behind the glass. Does this make you a little nervous or upset at all? Just to even hear me make that statement.
Listen, he came in and he was. Just the friendliest dude I've ever met. So
that is true.
New Money and Gold Standard would get along very well long term.
Gold Standard for the 90% of the people.
Right.
I'm not sure. Our former great producer out there.
Yeah, a great producer and a great man who's is doing it in the world. Has spent some time in England. Now he's back in the U.S. So we had a nice lunch with the Gold Standard. Always good to see him. This is the Thursday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, sponsored, as always, by Mr. Flame's economics class in The Hague, the Netherlands.
Mr. F.
Good show today, gentlemen. We are going to talk QB carousel. Mark Sessler wrote a banger. Because, I don't know if anybody's noticed, last few shows, we talked a little bit about Wes's stuff, talked some of Greg's stuff, and Mark was over there probably thinking to himself, when do I get my stuff talked about on the podcast? Today, my friend. Today we will talk about your banger.
And the true shame is it's not even that original of a departure from what we talked about on the last show when we talked about where Romo would land up. I just expended
good
it.
Sell.
I just took it out to other quarterbacks. So.
Beautiful sell, Mark, as
always.
Well,
it's February 20-something.
Of your
this
work.
One involves Kirk Cousins and some other guys.
All of them.
Good. So we'll go through the carousel. Also, we will be opening up the mailbag. We love to open up the mailbag because that allows us to connect with our listeners all over.
Brings back bad memories for
Terra Firma. Yes, it does. Wes, a former U.S. postal worker, and that might come up. That's called a tease in the business.
Wow. He worked for the U.S. Mails. That's what they used to call
it. Is that like a strip club associated with the Postal Service?
No, they used to call it the U.S. Mails back in the old day.
Nobody at the Covington, Kentucky Post Office called it the U.S. Mails. Did my father, who worked there for 42 years.
Is that like a subgrade Chippendales, the U.S. Mails?
Apparently.
That is what
nobody wants to see a mailman naked.
Just don't Google that, whatever you do.
Not where I was going with
Under
that, but
no circumstances.
Good luck in this
Google
room.
It. And also, of course, we'll go through what's going on in the news, and before we do that, we will formally say hello to the First Lady of here on the NFL Podcast. She is New Money.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Oh, not much. I'm just chilling back here, having a great time. Same old, same old.
You played the Sleeping Beauty drop, and listen, I didn't. It wasn't familiar to me. I still want to play like a more famous Disney jingle when we introduce La Cid. But we need to get a shadowy league figure on our side about this.
We do. I'm not sure which one to approach.
I think I know who the person is. So we're going to work on that because I think you need a more recognizable Disney jingle when we introduce you.
All right. Well,
you deserve it. All right, gentlemen. So that's today's show. Let's do some news.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Let's start in Minnesota, where Teddy Bridgewater suffered that catastrophic knee injury last summer. One of the strangest injuries in all my years following football. He planted his leg in a practice, and the knee just went a major injury. And the hope at the time was that he'd be ready for this upcoming season after missing the 2016 season, which, of course, led to the Vikings trading for Sam Bradford. But it still sounds like he is far from out of the woods, Teddy Bridgewater. On Thursday, general manager Rick Spielman declined to say with 100% certainty that Bridgewater will ever play again. According to USA Today's Tom Pelissero, Spielman said, "Everybody's hoping." The GM added that Bridgewater is still not doing any football activities. 24 years old. He dislocated the knee and tore his ACL in a practice last September. A sad story, Mark Sessler, and you hope you see him again. But as far as the Vikings are concerned, again, the trade for Sam Bradford is looking even better now because there's a very good chance he's going to be your quarterback in 2017 as well, it seems.
Yeah, when the trade for Bradford went down, I remember being in the office that day, and it was a weekend day, and there were not a lot of people around. And my initial thought was, well, this probably to Mike Zimmer. A, you don't have a lot of years to prove that you're the guy for the job, and you have a good team here, and we thought that Vikings team coming off a playoff appearance could go right back again, that it was a move that said, we're not giving up on the season. We're going to get the best quarterback available. It's not the best quarterback in the league, but it's Sam Bradford. But now it does look like a truly smart ploy on their part because they knew at that point, maybe not to the degree they do. They must have known that there's no reason to believe that Teddy Bridgewater was going to come back, A, late season, obviously, but maybe even not for the beginning of next season. And now it looks like we don't know what the future is.
Well, I think they just don't have any idea. And I think they knew when the injury happened that this could be a multi-year process, and we just don't know. Mike Florio, my old boss at PFT, who's usually pretty tied in with the Vikings, he said even the speculation saying likely, not likely, is almost off base because it's not like Teddy Bridgewater's doctors know where he's going to be at. He's still relatively early in this process, which says a lot. You don't have football injuries like this where 6-7 months after it you're still early in the process.
When it happened, it was described as a torn ACL, dislocated knee, and other structural damage.
Yeah.
The way it was described, I thought immediately this is probably worse than Marcus Lattimore, worse than Willis McGahee, and immediately people were saying he might not ever play football again.
And on top of it, so much changes with any football team over two seasons that if he gets healthy,
right,
there's no guarantee that when he comes back, he's the starter for this team on any level.
Well, right. I mean, Sam Bradford could either be great this year and lead them to the playoffs, or they could be 6-10 and have a different person picking players. A lot of people think this is kind of a boom or bust, do or die year for Rick Spielman, their general manager who's been there for a long time.
Moving on to other quarterback talk in the NFC North. Soon to be former NFC North quarterback Jay Cutler is currently a Chicago Bear, but there is the strong belief that he will either be traded or released in the coming weeks. And NFL Media Insider Ian Rappaport reported on Wednesday's edition of NFL Total Access on NFL Network that Cutler is still considering whether he even wants to play or retire and just walk away, age 34. Of course, Chris Wessling, who you wrote the piece up on NFL.com, this seems like a very transparent move by Cutler to torpedo whatever trade value he has, which can't be much, and get him to free agency where he could maybe pick his own team. Is that how you're reading it as well?
That never occurred to me, honestly. This happened on Total Access yesterday, a little peek behind the curtain.
Peek it.
Credit to Dan Helley, who immediately stopped Ian Rappaport and said, you're burying the lead, because this was way down on the list of items about Jay Cutler that Ian Rappaport had. And I texted Ian because the way he brought it up, I thought Ian didn't want it to be written about. It was kind of a minor thing. But he said this is just the fact of reality in the NFL now. In the modern NFL where these guys make that much money, you get to your mid-30s and you're taking everything as year to year. You're evaluating whether your situation is what you want. If you're Jay Cutler and you get very little guaranteed money, you have to compete for a starting job in a team that's going nowhere, is that going to keep you from retirement? Mm. When you've already made $100 million? I don't know. Like, what's his motivation?
I think the real story, maybe we're burying the lead a little bit here, is the headline on the end around today, an ode to Jay Cutler. And what I'm really seeing as the big story is Dan Hansis starting to convince himself,
talk himself into
that maybe Jay Cutler is a good option for the Jets. Here's the start of his third paragraph from Dan. I've always strangely admired Cutler's brand of let's just call it DJAF. He never seemed particularly interested. You're getting in on Jay Cutler.
I kind of like Jay Cutler. I'm not saying that he, and this is kind of like the Wes Gregg beat because you guys always fight about Jay Cutler, but I've always found him to be an entertaining character.
He's a character.
Back in 2012, I looked it up when I was writing that column, which you should check out at NFL.com/endaround, that I wrote that he was the NFL's greatest villain because there was a time where he could actually really play. And he, you know, his attitude and the way he kind of would, you know, mess with Mike Tyson on the sideline and just not care about anything and still perform. I don't think he can really perform. And it's very important to note that he's coming off a torn labrum and his arm is his best characteristic. So if he doesn't have a strong arm, I don't want anything to do with Jay Cutler. But in a rebuilding year for the Jets where they really just need somebody to play quarterback, if I can have a year of fun with Jay Cutler where he makes some plays or he's a total disaster and the Jets are behind the scenes doing the right things to build for the future, I need somebody to play. Would I rather have Jay Cutler or Josh McCown or Brian Hoyer? Give me Cutler. Let's have some fun here.
And you may get your wish because it sounds like of all the teams out there, the Jets are the one. They desperately need something at quarterback.
They just need something.
They have interest, and you have the right attitude, if you're looking at Jay Cutler and you're trying to tell your friends and neighbors, hey, this guy's going to push the Jets over the top, look out, New England Patriots, that is going to be a disastrous
My eyes are open.
No, exactly.
The Jay Cutler situation.
I think they're more open than they were with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I would think he's an upgrade over Ryan Fitzpatrick, frankly.
I think the Jets are really the only team that makes sense because he has burned so many bridges, not just with teammates, but with former coaches, and the new Jets quarterbacks coach is Jeremy Bates, who had him in Denver and Chicago as quarterbacks coach. And by all accounts, the two of them get along great, and Bates is a big Cutler fan.
I think there's a couple places. It all depends. You know, we'll talk the carousel later, but just specifically for Cutler, you know, Kyle Shanahan, if he can't find what he wants in free agency or something, could he go with Cutler and a rookie?
His dad drafted Cutler.
Right,
Is this
Cutler
bumping into Mark's free agent carousel?
Well, it's the Cutler part.
You don't want to step on Mark's
turf. Okay, let's wait for the carousel.
Don't you think Kyle Shanahan is trying to institute a culture in San Francisco? The last guy you want instituting a culture is Jay Cutler.
You made fun of me for throwing out the possibility just that Foles would have a chance. I'm not stumping for
who
Foles.
Made fun of you?
West did.
Oh.
And I
that's
I,
not that's you framing the question.
I really
I didn't
my point is
you.
I really think
I hated
Cutler
that
will,
you put the energy out there that
right.
Nick Foles could be a starting quarterback.
I really think Cutler will be starting. So
I do
one
too.
Of the one of these carousel spots is gonna stop and Cutler's getting
put it this way. Josh McCown, we wrote about this on ATN today. Told a reporter recently that four or five teams are courting him. So many teams are courting
him. And nobody wants Romo.
Josh McCown. So many teams are courting him, he can't even keep count.
Well,
Jay Cutler is going to have a market as well.
There is one big difference between McCown and Cutler, and it is how they are viewed within their own locker room, I think. McCown has been a pristine teammate. He may be done on the field very soon, but people want McCown around for more than just his playing ability. Cutler's going to have to probably convince teams other than the Jets that he still wants to play football. There's rumors out there.
Well, he would have
to
convince the Jets, too. Let's
well,
give
the Jets may say, listen, we don't need
that's
to
a little bit of credit,
the Jets
Mark.
Could say, we'll have that conversation later.
Do you want me on your corner?
Huh?
Because if the Jets don't even need to want to play, I'll probably be on your corner.
I'd love
he's also 5 years younger and has started 130 games at an average level.
If he thinks that Jay Cutler, what do you say?
I don't want him in the
Jets. That's going to be a disaster. You yeah. love Cutler. You've always loved
I've him. Always held out hope he could turn it around. At this point, you know, it's looking pretty dim.
Early 30s, why not now?
We need Bruce Arians to save him next year.
Moving on, let's do a little bit of tackle talk.
Tackle talk.
Russell Okung is not going to be on the Denver Broncos next season. The team declined to pick up his option, that initial deal that he framed himself with the Broncos because he was his own agent. Turned out to be essentially a one-year, $5 million deal with an option for a four-year, $48 million agreement. This is the case against being your own agent, by the way, because nobody would really agree to that if you had a functional agent on your side. So now Russell Okung is going to be on the marketing. And, Greg, what are your thoughts on this, and where does he fit into the old, big old top 99?
Well, we just finished our top 99 free agents. Okung, we're not sure about because we got to add him to the mix, but he'll be in there in the middle. The tackle group is terrible. I could see him returning to Seattle. He'd be in my top five tackles available. I mean, he played last 2 years healthy enough, not particularly well, but he's a starting left tackle in the NFL, which means he'll get paid by someone.
I don't get this. It seems to me like writers are in bed with agents when everybody's waiting to pounce on Russell Okung. He's not the first player to be cut after 1 year. Whether he signed his own contract or an agent helped him, this happens to players all the time.
But you can usually –
cost the money, though.
At his age, you can usually probably get some guarantees into the second year. He wasn't at the top of his game.
He was signed to be the starting left tackle, the defending Super Bowl champion, and he made $8 million on 1 year. That's not good money.
Pretty good. $8 million.
For what the leverage he had going into the free agency, I don't think he signed a good deal.
I don't know if he had a ton of leverage. He was an injury-prone guy.
And that Denver line is so depleted at this point. I'd put a sandwich right now that they draft at least three offensive linemen, because what's out there in free agency, there's good guards out there, but if you're looking for tackles, it's not a great free agency class, three or more.
How many draft picks do they have? That might take you up on this.
Let's take me up. I mean, we've been betting sandwiches all season. Nobody's paid up, so I'm going to just keep betting them. I don't care at this point.
You actually make a good point, because the game loses all value if we're not paying off the sandwiches. So
I think it doesn't. I like it.
It's time to pay up.
It begins now. We have to start. And that's bad news for you. Maybe you shouldn't have brought it up, Mark.
I like Dan.
Why is it bad news for me?
Because you lose the most sandwiches.
Who picked Super Bowl going into overtime? Was it you? Was it Wes or Greg? Was it new money? It certainly wasn't new money.
I'm obviously
just
in the standings.
Huh?
Definitely wasn't Wes.
Wes wasn't even there.
I wasn't there.
Wes was undefeated in his Super Bowl predictions on our Thursday podcast before the big game. Other offensive tackle news, Jason Peters will stay with the Eagles in 2017. Ian Rappaport reported Thursday that despite speculation the Eagles could move on, he'll be back with the team. He's set to make $9.5 million base salary, and his workout bonuses bumped that number to close to $11 million. 35 years old, used to be, you know, in any conversation of the top blindside guys in the league, but time and injuries have taken a toll, but not enough for the Eagles to divorce themselves. Guys,
it's just a quick show of what Mark just said. There aren't tackles available in free agency. It's supposed to be a bad tackle class in the draft, according to Daniel Jeremiah and Move the Sticks. So they asked Jason Peters to take a pay cut, and he was like, no. And then they just kept him. So that a nice job by Jason.
And by the way, just one thing. DJ, Move the Sticks, heard about some shade being thrown our way on your show. You're punching up. Punching up at the big leagues.
In what context? What was the shade?
I just called this the Toaster Podcast, I think was the exact word.
The Toaster. Yeah, pretty funny.
You're coming at the big chairs. Just, you know, pipe down a little bit.
I would just say if you're the Eagles. Wait, was that me or was that the announcer? I have no idea.
Let me go full Francesa. Hey, Danny, why don't you go get the ratings book and tell us what you think about the Toaster Show? All right, go ahead.
I don't even remember what my point – I think it's this. I mean, you've got Carson Wentz, and we can say that Jason Peters is declining. He was still, if you would care about what PFF says, I think it was the eighth-rated tackle last year, and you can't go replace that position necessarily if you let him go. It's the wrong time to suddenly have a major issue at left tackle.
Anything else, guys?
Sit on that.
That's it for Tackle Talk. Finally.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
The offseason pool trope party alert. Continues. One of the more popular tropes of the offseason, Player X making strides in rehab program. This time we have Eddie Lacy, who posted video on his Twitter feed, running in a pool at the University of Alabama, his alma mater. That is one of the great tropes. This is about a month after we saw David Johnson recovering from a knee injury jump out of a pool. Eddie Lacy recovering from ankle surgery that wiped out his 2016 season after about six or seven games. So Eddie Lacy on his way back, and also back on the fitness on a fitness kick, and you know conditioning has been an issue with Lacey. Last year it was P90X with Tony Horton, which, Mark, I know you followed very closely.
I admire him for it.
But Lacey apparently has dropped Norton in favor of a man or woman, Autumn Calabresi.
It is a woman.
Well, but
how many men are named Autumn, by the way?
I don't know. Like, why would Autumn have to be a woman's name? That's my character.
I've never heard of a man named Autumn.
It seems certainly like a female.
Are we overdue
name.
For a man named Autumn? What's wrong with Autumn being a male's
that's
name?
A different conversation, maybe.
So there you go. Autumn Calabresi.
Well, by the way,
Eddie Lacy.
They all work for the same company. So I don't think it's dropping Tony Horton. But
oh, she's with the PX90.
They're all
too?
With the Beachbody group. But Connor Orr, she does a program called 21 Day Fix. And Connor Orr did it before he had his wedding, which was last year at some point.
Right.
And shed like, I think it's something like 20 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm doing it currently. And it is fantastic.
You love it.
Autumn Calabresi is a great teacher. I can see why Eddie Lacy. I understand he's the butt of jokes because it's, football player wants to work out and get better in the offseason.
No one's
let's saying. Start taking the guy to town. But, I mean, I think he's trying.
I like that you even know the sub-corpo group that P90X yeah. and
very plugged
Autumn
in.
Calabresi is yeah. a part of.
Yeah. Very plugged in. Calabresi.
It's true. We've heard a lot about this program. I mean,
well, it's
I think you've talked about the program as much as you've done the
very
program.
Very into it. Listen, you know what? I mean, I think Connor and I are on this track, and we're not going to give up.
How many days in are you?
12 days.
Are you ready to hit the beach?
I don't know. I don't typically hit the beach in general, but I mean, why not? I will be soon.
All right.
Talk to me in 9 days.
Let's track. Can you do a pod shirtless at the end of the 21 days?
That would help absolutely no one in this room or outside.
If you have a Beachbody.
Is that the name of the program? Is that the name?
Isn't it Beachbody?
That's the corporate name, yes. I don't think I'm 12 days. I'm not 9 days away from what they're claiming you could get to. Quite okay. a bit away from that.
Okay.
Well, you look good.
Look real good.
Thanks, Greg.
That's what's happening in the news. All right. So it's time, everybody, to hop aboard. It's a little rusty. Watch out for the tetanus. The QB carousel. All right. So, Mark Sessler wrote a banger. And as Mark puts it in the lead of his post, off-seasons are shaped by quarterback movement. And this season will be a very interesting off-season because there are so many, name brands, I'll call them. They're not necessarily stars, but names that are recognizable. Players like Tony Romo, Kirk Cousins, Tyrod Taylor, Jimmy Garoppolo, those type of names. So what the carousel aims to do, Mark Sessler, is what?
Well, I wrote it as if you get off the carousel, then you can't go to three different teams. If you get off the carousel and you land in San Francisco, we're not going to project someone else to San Francisco.
Is it kind of a domino game?
A little bit of a domino type yeah. thing, but there's some bizarre non-attached dominoes at the bottom, so that didn't quite fit. So I went with the carousel.
Did you ever think maybe instead of carousel, go with the QB domino effect?
Yeah, but like again, some of the characters at the end are not attached to anything of meaning.
They're just dominoes.
Yeah,
laying
it's
on the
like
floor.
It would have been like if you have the domino, just it wouldn't have been knocked down. So
got you. All right.
Thought about it. Went against it.
All right, very good. So Mark's piece breaks it into subdivisions, and the first division is headliners. And Kirk Cousins, I think Wes might be on the same page as me on this. I still struggle to imagine Kirk Cousins being anywhere but Washington, but there continues to be people who believe he will be playing elsewhere. And Mark, you're one of them because when Kirk Cousins steps off that carousel, it will be in Santa Clara, California, the home of the 49ers. Whoa.
Yeah, I do. I just think that the kind of the heat around this is growing. And I think we'll know, initially this was supposed to come out next week during the combine. And I thought we got to get this thing up sooner because it's going to be complete. This will be completely irrelevant by then as the whispers and things start picking up. And I think a lot could happen at the combine around whether if the 49ers are serious about Cousins, we'll know a lot more a week from now than we do today.
What kind of heat are we talking about? What are we hearing?
I think they look to trade for him. The Redskins would franchise him, and then they can organize a trade. And it's not just us. It's, that you're not going to like this at all, but Daniel Jeremiah.
Well, that's where this all started.
Yeah, Daniel
that's the
Jeremiah.
Heat I'm getting at.
And he's not coming up out of thin air. He's talking to people, and he's hearing this.
Well, he said he would not be shocked if the Redskins and 49ers did a trade. And he thinks there's a better than 50% chance Cousins isn't a Redskin in 2017. I think logically that seems
2018, right?
He's saying this year there's a better than 50% chance. That's
wow,
that seems
year.
Aggressive because I don't think the Red. We talked about it the last show. I don't think the Redskins coach Jay Gruden wants to get rid of him, and I don't think necessarily Bruce Allen is going to be confident enough to put his job on the line to get rid of Kirk Cousins and replace him with what exactly? I don't know. You better have an answer. It better be Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, it better not be Jay Cutler. You know what I mean? It's tough to get rid of a guy, and I don't see them wanting to help Kyle Shanahan out, but maybe the 49ers truly would give up a Godfather offer. That's what this is all. This is, to me, this is all just leverage trying to build up his trade value.
I can't see a team like the 49ers with so many needs trading the number two pick for Kirk Cousins. They have too many needs. I don't see them. I could see Kyle Shanahan being patient and understanding that the Redskins can't tag Kirk Cousins again next year. It would be $34 million. Kirk Cousins would be free to go wherever he wanted to go in 2018. I could just see Kyle Shanahan approaching this with a lot of patience, as he said last week.
All I would ask is if you're Kyle Shanahan and you can get Kirk Cousins, a quarterback that you know well, for the number two pick. I know that sounds crazy at this time of year. What is a greater need than quarterback?
I think I would look to Kyle Shanahan's history. He has the quarterbacks who have reached their ceilings under Kyle Shanahan are Matt Schaub in Houston, Brian Hoyer in Cleveland, RG3 in Washington, Matt Ryan in Atlanta. Whoever he plays at quarterback is going to reach his ceiling, in my opinion. I don't think he needs to give up the number two pick for Kirk Cousins.
Well, he loves Kirk Cousins, by all accounts.
Right, but he also loves a lot of quarterbacks because he's a great quarterback coach.
There is a lot out there that Kirk Cousins wants nothing to do with the Redskins, doesn't want to be in Washington, and the Redskins, I think, have totally botched this. If the coach loves him so much and the coach wants him around for long term, then they couldn't have handled this anymore with any less.
Well, they could have signed him to a deal last year that would have saved them money ultimately if they had the foresight to do so.
I think
so.
It speaks to some dysfunction in the Redskins organization, number one.
I think that's true, but I don't. If Shanahan truly loved Cousins and they could get it done for the number two pick, why not?
I mean,
look at the number two picks over the last X amount of years. How many of them are worth more than a franchise quarterback? Almost none of them. I mean, you have a 50% chance whether that guy's even going to be a great starter.
But you don't even believe Kirk Cousins is that good.
I don't, but
I don't think Kyle Shanahan does either.
Yeah.
I don't think Kyle Shanahan thinks that Kirk Cousins
is a
top six NFL quarterback.
He tried to trade for him in Cleveland.
For a fourth-round pick, not the number two
overall
pick.
Well, that was a different time, and Kirk Cousins was seen as a different player.
And I hear you, but I don't think that Kirk Cousins is seen by even the Shanahans who love him as one of the top 10 talents at the position in the NFL.
And I wonder where all this is coming from.
I want this to happen. Because if Cousins goes, then it all gets a little crazy. Because then
yes,
Washington is in the mix, and it's like Washington.
And if it doesn't
do
go,
something.
This entire article needs just to be deleted because it all falls down from here.
Speaking of Washington and dysfunction, does anybody find it a little weird that a team employee, essentially on a team-owned radio station, came out and threw out the accusation or possibility that their GM is drinking again, Scott McLuhan, who has had issues in the past? That a team employee is saying that, and then the Redskins decline comment on the whole situation. That's, you want to talk dysfunction. What is going on behind the scenes in D.C.?
And no one's heard from Scott McLuhan in weeks and weeks and weeks, but I think that's an incredible accusation just to throw out there.
Jerry Brewer wrote this column that I sent to you guys about what's going on behind the scenes in Washington, and it just seems like the same old story, that there's always this backbiting, this fighting going on. And right now it seems to be a little bit of a power struggle between Bruce Allen and McLuhan, and Jay Gruden and Cousins is wrapped up in all this. And who knows? I would just say read the article. It's very, very interesting.
Moving on. Mark, now you have Jimmy Garoppolo stepping off the carousel, as it were, and joining the Browns. And we've talked about that, but I'm just curious, how disappointed on a 1 to 10 factory of sadness scale would you be if the Browns came out of this offseason without Garoppolo? Do you think he's a must-have here?
I don't think he's a must-have. I think that if Hugh Jackson would want him that much and they don't get him, that's very disappointing. If they are content to go somewhere else without mortgaging, you know, a big part of their draft. And that includes getting a quarterback, and that would remove essentially RG3 from the picture. I'd be all right with that personally as a Browns fan.
Let's work under the assumption that Hugh Jackson likes Jimmy Graham.
I think he does.
Not pounding
like
the table. Well, maybe he is, maybe he's not. He likes him. 1 to 10. How disappointed will you be if he's not the Browns quarterback week 1?
I'm at this point, I really, truly, I keep saying this, I don't feel much anymore. So
okay, 1 to 10. Where would you be?
6.
Okay. I think you'd be 8.
I think my main takeaway from this article, from this entire exercise, is that Mark wants Jimmy Garoppolo on the Browns.
Sure, sure I do. But that's not necessarily – I think that's harder to pull off than people realize.
I think the Bears are in love with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think the Browns are probably in love with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think Kyle Shanahan would love to get his hands on Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think those are the three teams, and you're going to have a lot of competition. But the Browns make as much sense as any of them.
I think the Browns make so much sense, and I think a lot of people, and we'll see how it really shapes out, but I think the Browns really whiffed on Carson Wentz. And this would be a good way to kind of bury that sin if you can pull off a trade that doesn't, you know, destroy your future, which I don't think it would because they have so much depth in this draft class in terms of ability to trade away picks and still be okay. Go and get him. Take a shot. If you like him, go and get him. Don't let another guy get away.
Right. I mean, first-round picks, I'm almost at the point, I think, first-round picks, I know the contract's great, but it almost gets a little overrated before you know who the player is. Then you find out who the player is, and you watch him for, you know, and it turns into Cam Irving half the time.
Yeah, it's a defensive tackle. It's a tight end that never materializes. I mean, I would rather go with the known product at quarterback, not every other position.
Well, in Garoppolo, the one thing that I'm not buying is, you know, there's these reports the Patriots have to be bowled over and they're happy to keep Garoppolo. I get that on some level, but if two or three teams are really in on him, there's never going to be a better time. And
so
I think he gets traded. I would be surprised if he doesn't get traded.
All right. You have Tony Romo going to the Bears. And again, a lot of logic there. Bears are looking to move on and upgrade from Jay Cutler. But you know, the Bears, I guess the counter to this, West would be that the Bears are a team that's kind of a few years away, and Tony Romo is one hit away from his career being over. Maybe I don't agree with the match on those grounds that they're not contenders.
I could much more easily see Tony Romo in Chicago than Tony Romo in Buffalo.
But isn't it kind of the same thing?
I think the Bears are in better shape than the rest of the football world thinks they're in, especially if they keep Alshon Jeffrey. I think they've got a nucleus. They've got a young second-year running back who was second in the league in rushing. Their offensive line performed better than just about any team connected to Tony Romo on his landing spots list. They really protected Matt Barkley well down the stretch last year. And I think they've got an intriguing front seven on defense.
But they won 3 games, it should be pointed out.
I'm talking about but Tony the Romo, talent on their roster, which is better than the Bills' roster, I think.
Right, that's from a smart analyst perspective. Is like Tony Romo really diving through and figuring out the total differences between, like, and think seeing all that in his mind that the Bears have that much potential when they're
well,
a 3-win team?
Shouldn't he?
I mean, who should be more invested?
But here's the thing: no one knows anything. Like, all we know is that they haven't had a winning team in many years.
We know he's got a connection to their general manager. We know that that he played college in that area, so that might appeal to him.
How many years does Tony Romo have left? 0 to 2. Are the Bears the team to go there when your window is that small? I think that's what it comes down to.
I think the Bears can compete next year with a quarterback.
Interesting.
There is a lot of connections with Tony Romo there.
Played football with the GM.
You know, if they don't bring back Alshon Jeffrey, you know, if you're a quarterback, I would think that your weapons would be, you know, one of the things you're certainly concerned about. They might have the very worst wide receiver group in the entire NFL.
What about if you tell Alshon Jeffrey?
It's Kevin White and Cameron Meredith are your top two.
That works both ways. If you do keep Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White is who they thought they were drafting finally, they could be a much better wide receiving core than people think. Cameron Meredith played pretty well down the stretch.
Mark, is there anybody else in this list that you would like to talk about before we move on?
Well,
you got RG3.
There's a lot. We can go through them all.
Okay, Greg, go ahead. Take over.
Greg,
just saying, let's do it.
Oh, I agree with Josh McCown to the Cowboys. I think lock that in.
Yeah, I think that was almost going to happen last year. He's from Texas. He probably is thinking post-career. He's definitely a family guy that's going to move back to Texas. And I think he would fit with Dak Prescott, and they're probably going to keep Kellen Moore too. I think that's a fit. I know, Dan, you mentioned he's got multiple teams coming after him, but that might
be the one. He can't even keep track.
Right.
A perfect backup, but durability issues and all that. But, yeah, they have a young starting quarterback in place. That makes sense. Brian Hoyer to the Patriots. I feel like Hoyer, in my opinion, probably thinks to himself, I can go somewhere and compete for a starting job, because that's what it always seems to happen with Brian Hoyer, which is not happening with New England, especially if they trade Garoppolo and they like Jake. I mean,
I think Hoyer can go somewhere where he can compete.
I did that as...
Ooh, slice me off a piece of that Jake brisket.
You have Tyrod staying with the Bills. It's all fascinating, and you have the Redskins rebuilding from scratch, because if the Redskins really did get in the mix, like, the Redskins could very well be in the mix. The Bills could very well be in the mix. Tyrod could very well be out there. There's so many X factors to this. Like, our hit on Friday's edition of Up to the Minute Live, which everyone... should watch, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. Wes gets after me and really goes after me personally.
It feels just personal for
believing that Tony Romo could go to the Bills, because he doesn't have that many options.
In Wes's defense, at one point you also go, "What do you know?"
Well,
you could watch all of that on NFL Network on Friday.
Greg is one of my most trusted voices in the wilderness, but we have reached a point in our relationship where we just are never going to agree on quarterbacks.
What's that?
It's just like, I have no more faith in your quarterback.
Wait a minute.
I can't deal with the Nick Foles and Mike Lennon love.
No, I don't like Nick Foles.
And Tony Romo is willing to go to Buffalo stuff. Lord. I can't do it.
What will happen?
I can agree on. This has nothing to do with evaluation. We're trying to get inside of Tony Romo's head. Can we at least agree that we have no idea what really matters to Romo?
And I'm not going to agree with that.
We have some information. It's totally uncertain. We have some information that indicates, maybe some of the teams wouldn't be out there. And there's some logic that they just would be desperate.
You're asking me to bypass common sense and say that Tony Romo, with only a year or two left in his career, is going to want to go try to topple Tom Brady with a much worse roster.
Make some money.
No, I don't believe that.
If he goes to Buffalo, Wes, what will you give Greg? What will you do for Greg?
Or even if he shows interest.
Will you eat some softball pants?
I've already done that.
Will you eat Greg's pants?
No.
I don't know
where Greg's pants have been.
On his butt?
I'll buy him lunch for a week straight, though.
Oh, I like that.
Week of lunches.
Is this like the other food bets where no one actually does anything with it? Or are you?
I mean, the odds on him actually going to Buffalo, even for an I'm saying it's possible, would be pretty low, like a 1 in 4 chance or something. It's not like it would be particularly likely.
1 in 4?
Yeah.
So, no way. 1 in 4.
I'm saying
it's like
an
optimist. 1 in 999.
The very highest level.
All right. In summation.
Wow.
Comments made. Greg to Wes, what do you know? Wes to Greg, I have no more faith in your quarterback evaluation.
Wow,
it got personal.
It did,
Mark.
Quickly, and it's uncomfortable. I feel bad. It's not just Sydney back there. There are multiple technicians working on the show, and I feel bad for them.
All right. Check it out, NFL.com/Sessler. And usually you say that the columns and things that you write are assigned to you, Mark, but this one came from your head, and you said, I want to get this one out to the people, correct?
That's mostly true.
Almost all your articles are your ideas, right?
That's not all true.
Well, the ones
most
we talk
of my
about,
articles. A lot of times I'm just assigned.
Well, I mean,
this happened. This guy got cut.
Ones
hey,
that we
you're
were
the
talking about
sitting
the podcast.
In your chair. You write it.
Whenever I set Mark, typically when I set Mark up on a story he wrote on this podcast, his first thing he says, "Well, this was something that was assigned to me."
Mm. Well, let me say, whenever they say vanity URL hashtag our last name. It tells you what they think of it, because all that is a list of every story we wrote. So if someone goes there 3 days from now, and if I've written anything since, good luck finding it. It's a long list of stories. It's not going to take you straight to it. So it tells you what the editorial desk thinks of this work.
I think it might be a little easier to find articles on your author page than you believe. Do our listeners know about the F8 function?
I don't know.
Are we digging on the – save it for the F8 function podcast.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
All right. There you go. Make sure you check it out. And now, let's move on to the mailbag.
Mail time. Mail time. Mail time. Mail time. Mail time.
Slightly cacophonous.
What?
was
I enjoyed that.
I'm going to be having nightmares about
that. I hope we can get that again before the show ends.
All right. So this, of course, all these questions come from actual listeners of the Around the NFL podcast. And where do we want to start? Here's a good one. Alejo Enriquez at PRIONS, who asks, what team besides the Miami Dolphins will make the biggest free agency splash? It's a good question because everyone's – Dolphins are where everyone's going. Oh, look out for the Dolphins.
Dolphins don't even have that much room yet.
We've been saying the same thing, but what about another team? And I'll throw it to you, Chris Wessling.
Let me look at some salary cap numbers here, Dan.
Okay.
Should we
come back to you?
I feel like there are 10 to 15 teams who have more than they could possibly spend. Almost the entire league, like 20.
The 49ers.
Yeah.
The
49ers make a big splash. They have about $80 million in cap space, second only to the Browns, and they need warm bodies at multiple starting positions on that team.
I think it's easier to get players to go to San Francisco right now with the, you know, Kyle Shanahan is an attraction. Versus
Pierre Garçon is an obvious one.
Yep.
Who, when he played, Kyle Shanahan's offense is based on the X receiver, a dominant X receiver. And I don't know if Pierre Garçon's that guy right now, but he was one of the most efficient receivers in the NFL down a stretch last year. He led the NFL in catches as Kyle Shanahan's X receiver with the Redskins. He's also had Julio Jones and Andre Johnson at that spot. So I would say maybe they start with him.
I think the Jaguars, even though they've tried this over and over, I think it's their mode. I think they like to be active in free agency. They have the same GM, and they've got, to some degree, a new regime. I think they're going to want to get some new blood in there, and they've got money to spend.
Philly, throw in there.
Buccaneers, there might be a
Buccaneers for
a sleepy,
sure.
A sleepy one. They've got $60 million under the cap, and you know they're going to go hard after DeSean Jackson.
People think they'd go for Alshon, and I don't think that's possible because then
he's too much like Mike Evans, too.
And you would have to be deciding almost not to pay Mike Evans because then a year from now you would literally have the two highest paid receivers in the league on one team. Which
is an excellent point, Greg. It makes up for your Mike Glennon love.
Oh, sad.
We're back in this territory.
Well, you just trumped him with a sad.
Well,
sad.
Trumped him.
Sad. Anyway, next up, Heinz Bowman at Heinz Christian writes, and I'm going to tweak this just a little bit to make it a little more thought-provoking. No offense, Heinz.
No, none taken, I'm sure.
Wow. He asks, would you rather have Jimmy G? No, the guts of the question are excellent.
Okay.
But, you know, just
all right,
the host
Heinz,
here
we go.
Here we go. Would you rather have Jimmy G for 10 years or Tommy B, Tom Brady that we saw this past season, for 3?
Tom Brady, no question.
Who is you?
I want to win Super Bowls. Championship banners fly forever.
Who is you? Like, who? What team, what entity? The Patriots?
Yeah.
If I'm GM of any of the 32 teams, my answer is Tom Brady.
Okay.
I'm going to win a Super Bowl.
Well,
with Tom
let me
Brady.
Knock it down to Heinz's question. Would you rather have Jimmy G for 10 years?
You edited his question?
Poor Heinz. Thanks for joining us on the show, Greg. Or Tommy B for 1?
I'm still taking Tom Brady. I want to win a Super Bowl.
I would take Jimmy G for 10 versus Tom
1 year.
Brady. If I'm a bad football team and I get Tom Brady for 1, that's truly swinging for the fences. I appreciate that, but you'd have Jimmy G for 10.
But in this weird scenario, if you're a Patriots fan, I'm taking Tom Brady for 1.
Well, that I get.
Because you would
why disrupt anything that's
right,
happening?
You never
with him.
Want him to be.
I know Tom Brady's an MVP candidate. I hope Jimmy Garoppolo can be a top 20 quarterback, but there's a chance he's not even a top 30 quarterback.
But if you're a bottom barrel team and you're saying you have Tom Brady for
right.
one season versus a quarterback that's been very widely praised by people that work with him for 10, I will go with 10.
Greg, you've started to get into soccer.
Sort of, yes. I have chosen a team. I'm a West Ham fan.
Yes, big news.
Hammer.
Breaking news
Nat Coombs from old
Around the NFL podcast headquarters.
Yeah, Nat Coombs from Talk Sport 2. I do a show with him. He presented me with a West Ham jersey.
I was there for that. That
at the Super Bowl, you were there, and I decided Hammers forever after
that.
So
your fandom can be bought.
Yeah, I've always kind of wanted one team to root for.
So Oliver Gray at Ollie_9 asked this question, and I will throw it to you, Greg, because you did hang pretty well in a soccer-related conversation with Goldstander at lunch today. is it Leicester City?
Leicester.
Leicester City sacked. That is a terminology overseas for fired. Their coach, Claudio Ranieri? Should they have stuck with Claudio Ranieri, or were they right to sack him? And those that aren't fans of the Premier League, this was the Premier League, Leicester City was a huge underdog champion, I believe, in the 2015 season, and now they're
last year, 2016.
Okay, they're close to relegation this season, so they sacked old Claudio. Your thoughts, Greg?
Well, I'm no expert, that's for sure. But it seems outrageous. It'd be like if the Browns won the Super Bowl and fired Hugh Jackson in the middle, literally the middle of the next season. That's insane.
I'm with you. I don't.
What do I know?
We're talking to Gold Standard about it and what he explained and what Greg also weighed in on. Like, well, not Greg's a big fan, but like, I mean, it seems ridiculous. Like, he sounds like he gave that fandom an incredible, shocking gift out of nowhere, and this is what you turn around
he
and
had
do.
To. Yeah, we didn't watch many matches this year, last year, for LC, but I'm sure he played a big role in them winning the title. So, yes, way a premature sacking. Wes?
I agree.
Here's a question for Mark, who's the most natural person to ask this question, from James Somerville at Mosh Cheese. If any of you were a Jedi, what color would your lightsaber be? Big Star Wars fan, Mark Sessler. Mm. What color and why?
Blue.
And why?
I like blue.
It's a good answer.
Next question. Eric Jensen at Eric18 Utah. A mailman story, please. All right, Chris Wessling. Now that means we'll throw it to you, a former U.S. postal worker. Give us a good old mailman story.
I start my first day at the Covington, Kentucky post office. I believe I'm either 20 or 21 years old, and I am paired with a 6'3", 270-pound man named Ben Calloway, who informs me immediately he used to play with the San Diego Chargers, or was at least in their training camp one year, I believe in the early 80s. Mm. And he's taking me through the housing projects of Jacob Price. And we go and we have lunch, and it's a very nice lunch at like the VFW with some nice old men, a white bread and bologna sandwich. The real action comes about 2 o'clock that afternoon. We're going through the mail route, and we see a woman get hit in the face with a brick.
Oh, no.
Like a middle-aged woman is hit in the face with a brick.
By who?
Oh, by a man, a drug deal go wrong. And we see this younger white guy take off running. And Ben, the guy who's training me, says, oh, yeah, that's his mom who just got hit in the head with a brick. That's a drug deal gone wrong. That was my first day on the job at the post office.
Welcome to the route.
Yes.
So how did the citizen's arrest
that
go?
That was story time.
What, you think I was going to go run after him?
Just that's what mailmen do.
Something
you put
beautiful
on the
just
uniform.
Happened there, by the way.
Let's hear that again.
And that was story time with the mailman.
Nicely done. That was better than my story.
Next up, Tom, that sounds like a terrible, harrowing tale, Wes. I almost think there's probably... Maybe you can go into therapy and talk about it and get some things out.
There are much worse experiences at the post office that I need therapy from.
Moving on, Tom Dow, at Tom_Tom84. This is an interesting one. What would be your death row dinner? Love it. Greg? Mm. You and I have similar sensibilities when it comes to the menu.
Yeah.
What would be your death row dinner?
I know. Dan and I, whenever we're ordering, we always get the same thing.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
And I might go to what we had today at lunch, at least in that vein. I think I might have to go fried chicken for my last meal. Fried chicken and a biscuit.
Hmm. Solid.
Potatoes. I mean, I would think about like a nice steak for sure, but I don't know. Right now I'm thinking I'm feeling some fried chicken.
I'm thinking like a little like I'm going to get a little sentimental because I'm going to be fried in an electric chair hours later. I'm guessing that's how this works. I'm going to have my mama's spaghetti and meatballs. Nobody made spaghetti and meatballs like my mama. Give me that, a little home-cooked meal.
Yeah, it makes sense. You obviously would have made her proud if you're in this place in life.
Yeah, assuming she'd even agree to do it.
Right,
if I was
yeah.
on death row, perhaps she would have cut off ties with me. But if I still have a sound relationship with my mom, her spaghetti and meatballs, Wes.
My friend Alex Montuano from Cincinnati, his mom was a fresh-off-the-boat Italian who made the most delectable morsel of food I've ever put in my mouth, her homemade lasagna which she made the noodles from scratch. She made everything from scratch. You put a fork on top of lasagna, the fork just sinks all the way to the plate. It was that soft and light. I want that lasagna.
There you go. And Mark Sessler, which I'm fascinated by because you're not a huge food fan, and the society's telling you the last great thing you get is food.
Mark will just be like, nah, I'm okay.
Well, I would be like, yeah, I'm okay, because I don't get the whole thing that if you're about to be destroyed, that I need to eat a huge meal. I would already probably have gone on, because I would obviously be innocent and falsely accused. I would be on a long, like, juice or water fast to begin with. I would refuse to eat. I would not eat anything in total protest of the judge, the entire judicial system.
Wow.
And it botched this case. They botched it.
So you, let's say you did it. Let's say you snapped and you did it. Then what?
Which I still don't think food
right.
is what
I would
I want.
Say if we're
no, I'm not. I would not eat food.
If we're setting
go,
odds,
would,
the most likely to be on death row of our group. I mean, I would have to go with Mark.
That is ridiculous, Greg. By the way, that is ridiculous, Greg. Secondly, let me tell you something. If I had done whatever they thought I'd done, I would definitely be pretending that I hadn't done it and still protesting.
Okay.
So you have. I mean,
either
come
way.
On.
There we go.
I'm not going to suddenly change my tune. I will refuse to believe I did it.
Okay. There you go. Which current, this is from Bronco Fanatic, at Bronco underscore Fanatic, which current or former NFL player would you most want to switch lives with? For me, this is easy. As long as you get to time travel, I would like to be Joe Namath, early 1970s, Upper East Side of Manhattan, living the life. That would be my choice.
I don't know. The first name that came to mind is Bobby Lane in the 1950s. He treated the football season like I treat softball season. Just an excuse to get together with your buddies and drink beer.
Okay.
Mm.
Can it be a coach?
Which current or former NFL player? But if you want to,
you most want. I never like these things. It's like, who would want to switch a life with someone?
Just go along.
Yeah, I would much rather be a coach. I don't know what I would pick a. How about be Belichick and see how that is?
Oh,
be fantastic!
I'm a miserable old man.
Congratulations!
I don't think he's miserable. I think he's. I mean, think about it. He's on a boat okay. right now. He's just won.
You
his
now
six
have a
Super
boat
Bowl.
Named Seven Rings.
There you go.
Sounds great.
I'll be Malcolm Butler right before he makes that interception. Can I
yeah,
point
sure.
that?
Oh, now the Patriots sure. lose. Greg just said to
me. Rosenthal dropped it.
Ricardo Laquette just ran over the defensive yeah. back.
What's that guy doing out there?
Get an ambulance.
This from Lily Jaquith. Jaquith?
Lily!
Jaquith. At Lily Jaquith. If all of your wives/paramours had a podcast together, what would they talk about?
Well, I don't think we'd need that to happen. That would not go well
for us.
This
is basically a pitch that John Gonzalez, Colleen Wolf, / Connie Fox's husband, has proposed to do essentially a Wives of the Around the NFL podcast reality show. Where he's sort of the centerpiece here, but it's kind of like how we're never around during the season, and they're just drinking champagne and getting into different dramas.
Okay, my wife would want to know who's raising our infant son and 2-year-old during these parties.
I think it would be. I would love to hear it. I wonder what roles they'd play. I don't particularly think that Simone, my wife, would want to be on a podcast, but maybe she would. Maybe she would warm up to it if it's, you know, Emily and Emeka and the rest of the group.
Emily definitely wouldn't be – there wouldn't be a lot of football being discussed.
I don't think that would be the expectation.
No.
Yeah,
it'd be different. Emeka definitely would not want to. Anthony tried to get her to come on to the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project, RGVP. But
no one even remembers that.
But
anymore.
He did. People
an
came up.
Memory.
People came up at the Super Bowl looking for it, and I had to tell them no. The shadowy league figures at the NFL – short-sightedly shot it down in yet another one of their lack of foresight decisions.
I think the paramour would love to be on a
I
podcast.
Think she would, too. I think she'd be good on it, too.
I think she would.
I think she'd be great on it. Why do you think she'd only be good?
All right.
Question, does John get to be on this podcast?
He's got a larger design on the whole thing where it would suddenly, you know, become much bigger than anything we're involved.
There is something funny about that it's him and...
They would love him, too.
What about the idea of the wives agree to having John on the podcast?
Why not?
Why does he get the – wouldn't they potentially say, we don't need you here?
In a sense, though, he would be the match to Connie Fox, so it makes sense.
That's
the whole point.
That's how this works.
Come on.
Well, then you're opening it up to the whole universe then.
What do you mean?
Because then you got Lindsay Rhodes' husband.
Sure, he could come on. But I mean,
Patrick Claybon's wife.
Sure.
That's
it's like
fine.
But they would all appear as they naturally appear, which is in some cases
Kirk
periodically,
Cousins.
In some cases regularly.
Kevin Patra's fiance.
We had Troy Aikman on here. It's not Tony Romo on here. It could be his wife.
Okay, that makes sense. So, very interesting. Okay.
Dan, you'd have to hate on this show because the ratings would be good, and you'd have to start. It would get very ugly.
I would support it if my wife was involved.
Okay.
At Korbach.
She could cast it.
When will Greg pick his NFC South team of the season?
That's an interesting question. Hey, by the way, I said the NFC South is going to be the most exciting division. It got pretty exciting.
You're right.
Got pretty exciting. Well, every year I'm a year off because I had the Falcons winning 2 years ago. I think this year I had the Saints. So I don't know. Who am I going to blow? Maybe I'll go with the Bucks.
Your heart's in New Orleans.
Yeah. I don't know. Get out of the 7-9.
Yeah. I mean, at some point they need to improve. Finally, from Mark Ferraresi at MJ Ferraresi. Favorite movies, TV shows, books, seen, read from 2016. And we could move into the early months of 2017. Anybody?
Favorite movie, book?
TV, music, books. Anything that's jumped out at you recently or in the last year?
Oh, Planet Earth 2.
Oh, is that? I'm looking forward to that.
I ordered it on demand. It's worth every penny. You know, I love nature.
You do, Wes.
Love nature shows. David Attenborough is a real hero in Britain, deservedly, the narrator.
Mm.
It's beautifully shot in that new, what is it, H4 technology or 4K technology?
Mm.
Well, what are you got to have a movie that you want to stump for?
I loved Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
That would probably be my favorite movie that I've seen in the last year or so. I loved, it's a little older, but I loved all things OJ related from last year.
Mm.
Both the documentary from ESPN and the FX show. Love that.
Thought the FX show was actually much better than the documentary.
Really?
Well, only because I followed that. I'm old enough to have followed that day to day, and the documentary was very well done, but the FX show gave me stuff that I didn't perceive or detect.
I tried to watch the FX show, and I just couldn't get over the actors who were chosen to play the characters.
Yeah.
Just didn't do it for me.
It was fascinating.
Other than Travolta, I thought the acting
like Cuba Gooding Jr. looks nothing like O.J. Simpson.
That was a little problematic, but it's funny if you despise O.J. Simpson, which you have every right to, don't not watch that because of O.J. Simpson, because Cuba Gooding Jr. does not have a huge role in the show compared to the lawyers involved and all the other players tied into that real life soap opera.
I'd have to throw in the Elena Ferrante. To me, is one of the greatest writers that I've read in my lifetime.
Hold on, write this down. How do you spell this?
I banged through her Neapolitan novels, read a couple of the others. That was those are some of the best books I read in 2016. And I just read the new Michael Lewis, who I think everyone in this room would like. It sort of applies to what we do, and it's kind of like a weird prequel almost to Moneyball in a weird way. Very good.
I will throw this in. I am watching The Young Pope on HBO.
Oh, you're way in.
It is... I feel like every once in a while you wish you could – you find a show or a movie you wish you were attached to in some level in the production and understood how they made it. I think it is one of the best shows
I've
ever seen. I don't think it's for everyone either, but it is absolutely – it is – the acting's incredible. The cinematography in it is unbelievable, and every single episode has two or three super jarring, bizarre moments that – I love, and I cannot stop watching it.
It lost me when I watched first episode, but I based on what you're saying, I want to give it another shot because it was really weird and a little bit kind of – my wife instantly was kind of out, and then I try to stick with it, but it's definitely different. So I'm gonna go back in on Mark's recommendation. Music. I liked the Radiohead album a lot last year.
Sturgill Simpson for me.
Sturgill Simpson. I think it might have come out in 2015, but I really liked Tame Impala's last album.
Yes, that was very good.
Been playing a lot of It's Raining Men in the jukebox at dive bars, and I think that song's coming
back.
What
does that mean, though? Well, let's dig behind that a little bit. Why do you like
that? I think it's just it's why did that song get buried when they talk about the classics and no one mentions it? Why?
Who sings It's Raining Men?
two ladies.
Angel Olsen, it's great. The Chance Christmas album was way better than you could have ever imagined.
The Weather Girls sing It's Raining Men. That's appropriate.
The new Run the Jewels.
Wait, Paul Schaefer wrote it?
There you go. See, it's just a lot
those
of
pockets.
Lot of layers.
Paul Schaefer did write It's Raining Men.
All right, wow. There you go. Let's close up the mailbag.
Mail time.
Mail time. Mail time. Mail time.
It's very strange.
It's worse than the pickle drop.
We will be back on, let's see, we'll be back on Monday. Combine week next week. So we will have a show Monday, and then we will do a show that combines the powers remotely from Indianapolis with Wes and Gray and Mark from the studio here in Culver. So get ready for that. So two more shows next week, and then after that, I think we'll be going to three shows a week leading up to and through free agency. So keep your eye out for more around the NFL content, podcast content, all spring. Thank you for everyone for listening, too. We continue to get great kind of download numbers, which tells us that the audience is staying with us through the offseason, which we certainly appreciate. You guys are awesome, and that's it. This is Dan Hansis signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, The Old Boss, and New Money Behind the Glass. Till Monday. Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am June.
You're June. You're not even. It's February.
Let's try that again.